Hello, another welcome from another episode of Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine. My name is John Kudus from the Netherlands, of all of Europe, coming from Europe Live. And this is a very special day for me because we had a long time. I need to say the date, by the way. It's May 19th, 2007. And sometimes old broadcasts will be rebroadcasted if I, you know, I have to go to holidays or I'm sick or... So that's the reason I need to mention the date. And Untold Mysteries of Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com. For the those who don't know who I am, I'm a webmaster of untoldmysteries.com and needtoknow.eu and realxfiles.eu and exopolitics.eu. I'm doing full-time research in UFOs and mysteries for about 17 years. And my passion is... to collect information all over the world about things that we're not supposed to know. And I started doing that after having a UFO encounter, UFO experience as a security officer. And because of that, things start rolling, start starting to unfold. And because of my own experience, I came in the press and I decided to do some more investigation of my own case that has been confirmed and seen by police. And I'm not alone in my own case. And most important of all, I was very skeptical about my own case, on my own experience. What I did, for instance, I decided to only tell about 70% of my own experience, strange experience, as a security guard on duty at a nightly encounter on beautiful night sky with no clouds. And that started to trigger to share to the press and to the radio and to television to share about 70% of my experience. Now, what important is that what I did is once somebody called me, you know, let's say that you have seen the same object that I saw, you have to fill up the gap for the 30% that I didn't tell the public. And that makes me a skeptic about my own case, and I want to have confirmation if I'm not hallucinating. And I don't do drugs, I don't do alcohol because I'm allergic to alcohol. So, and I've been tested many times, psychological tests done on me because I work for the American consulate. So I've been screened by the United States government if I'm okay and my family is okay. So I've been, having this experience, and that's triggered me in 1990, 17 years ago, to do some investigation in the UFO scene. And because me being on the radio show and television show, a lot of people give me excellent tips. And I never thought that was so much weight and so much evidence available. You know, if the media cannot handle it, we will. That's my slogan, by the way. The slogan of Untold Mysteries Radio is, if the media cannot handle it, we will. And and because of that, my investigation and journey into the unknown and into the mysteries unfolded from that point on. And organized conferences started to have a foundation, and this foundation had a magazine called Exposure Magazine. So for all the new people who want to know more about me, you just have to go to untoldmysteries.eu, and there you see all my work. An effort. Of course, it's a team effort. It's not only me doing the work. It's we work together closely with more people, more than one people, of course. At this moment, we have a team of about, depending on what everybody does and what the part is, about 27 people. You can also see the pictures. And the whole idea is to make alternative media also highlighting news, like a news flash type of what the mainstream does. I'm working hard on it to soon have 30 minutes a day headline news on mysteries and conspiracies and suppressed news. And that will be podcasted. First, we do it in Dutch. And then, of course, we have international correspondents. Oh, and that will be translated into Dutch. And if this going well, then I want to have a 30-minute section in English as well. And of course, I will promote BBS Radio. And if something important happens on BBS Radio, I will announce it every time on the on the headline news, Forbidden News. That's the title in Dutch, Forbidden News. There's also forbiddennews.eu registered, by the way. And it will be also, if it's going well, into English. It will be translated, or we have a 30 minutes English section. Think about it. Why is it that we don't have an headline news highlighting the latest news just to tease you and mentioning the source? You know, if you want to know more, go there. That's the source. I think that is important that we can build bridges with the so-called normal people. So, of course, relative, what is normal? There's also a quote of me, normal is not normal 20 years ago, and normal is not normal 20 years in the future. Most normals want to fit in the programmed world, wants to belong. Anyone who exceeds the map programmed world is, of course, ridiculed. But you have to worry, I think, if you will be called sane by an insane world. So if you, that's my question. Do you not have to worry if you be called sane by an insane world? So, of course, when you are so-called not normal, it could be very well that 20 years in the future, what you did was actually normal. But you are ahead of time. And I feel more and more are waking up and actually are ahead of time. And maybe we are having some awareness from the future. Who knows? Maybe we are tapping in that energy. It's all out there for the grabbing. And it's about how do people appreciate front runners, scouts. I was discussing this in the Pal Talk room, that people say, yeah, you are a leader, John. I said, no, I'm not a leader, because anyone who needs a leader needs to be investigated by a doctor. Why? Because the moment that you have a need for a leader, that mechanism is exactly what that you have in hierarchical thinking, and that you have someone else thinking, doing the thinking for you, and that you let your fate decide, and that you say, hey, John, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. He said, no, that's not the way it works. The best way it works is that you say to yourself, I'm going to investigate for myself what feels good or not feels good. And that's, of course, up to you, you know, to make the decision. And if you need someone else to make the decision, then it's, of course, obvious that when it goes wrong, you can always blame the person that gave the advice. You see, that's interesting. So if someone has given you an advice what to do, and you do that, and it goes wrong, that is, of course, convenient to blame the other. But what will happen if you stop doing that? That you don't need a leader anymore. You will be a scout for yourself. You will be a front runner for yourself and explore. And the most important thing is that you make contact with your body, that you say what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And I think more and more people are waking up doing that and having access to our full potential. The keyword full potential sounds kind of strange. You know, what is that, full potential? One of the things that full potential embedded is that you are having results in a short period of time without effort. Think about that, having fast results without effort. You know, we have this dogma, that most people have a dogma, that you need to suffer to accomplish something. Now, if you believe that, really sincerely believe that, then you will repeat over and over and over again that you have that experience, that it will not be easy for you and it will be difficult, and you will have to surface your problems exploring new opportunities. But if you say to yourself, my focus is what feels okay and what doesn't feel okay, and then follow your heart, and any decision that you make is because of your heart. And then your mind is only there to understand your decision, not to make it. That's a good one. So your mind is only there to understand the decision that you made from the heart. I think that's a good one, to remember that quote. It's not for me, by the way, that quote, so don't say that John Kuller said it. I read it someplace else. I forgot the source who said this, but I think it's a wonderful concept. You follow your heart, you make a decision from the heart, and your mind is only there to understand the decision. Now, when you have more and more people waking up and they find each other, they will trigger each other to even have an access to them, to the hidden potential. Because I think there's a lot of symbolism going on in the media and movies that can also trigger something within us. And I think the core, what you see, it's all about control or not to be controlled. To give your authority away or not to take your authority away, to be in this fear-based attitude or letting go of fear, and that you say, yeah, there are a lot of signals coming towards us through the media, through the radio shows, through newspapers, televisions, movies, that we are being conditioned to have a certain fear-based view on the world. But what if there is an agenda to keep you on that level of awareness, that there's a good reason for it to keep you down on that level? What if you say, that you say, I don't know, but what I do know is that we have infinitive of consciousness, or access to infinitive potential, and that we have a reservoir of creativity within us, and we can access it if it's necessary, when the time is there when we need to have access to it. Now, that attitude changed everything. So people think that it's just blah, blah, and that's it. No, no. The moment that you let go of fear-based thinking, magic will happen. And I think it's just kind of war on the mind. It's like Infowars.com from Alex Jones. When I'm listening to Alex Jones, I always feel, okay, he approaches the Christian point of view. You know, that is his glasses that he puts on to have a certain perspective on world problems, and he thinks he can only solve it by going to Jesus and pray to the Lord, and that's the only way to have results. And if you really sincerely believe that, and anyone who does not do it like that must be failing or must be deluding themselves. Now, if you believe that, then you're looking for arguments and looking for confirmation, that's the word that I'm looking for, confirmation that you are right. But I see so many confirmation that it's actually the opposite. If you have any religion for that matter, it is all a mechanism that you give your authority away to someone else, and you have to trust that they have the best interest for you, and they decide what is important and not important for you, and how it is written, how it has been interpreted. So actually, it's a symbolism of hierarchical thinking. It's a symbolism of giving authority away to something outside yourself, and you're not exercising your true self. You're only exercising a mechanism that can maybe work. You know, I don't say it's bad. I only say it's a mechanism of hierarchical thinking and of a need for control of the mind. And even if you claim to be free, people say, yeah, but if you believe in Jesus, then you are truly free. Are you? Because who do you going to trust? Who going to interpret his words? And is it based on with no agendas? And if it's true that the word of God has been written long time ago, based upon that people are inspired by God or by the divine, then the simple question would be, why is it not now possible? Why is it not now that people can be inspired by God, by the divine, by that what is all knowing and loving and kind that is within us? And connecting through us, because everything comes from the prime creator, we are of it and therefore from it. So we have the sparks of that, what is the origins of everything. And if that is true, then the moment that you are wanting someone else deciding your fate and deciding how to interpret things, again, you have that mechanism. It's easier to let other people decide your fate, and if good things go wrong, you blame them that, hey, yeah, but you told me this and that. So we have to question everything, including me, by the way, John Kulis. And by taking your own authority back and own responsibility, you actually live. Yes, you are in the now. You actually are not diverted away from the now. So any kind of isms or any kind of organized religions are actually there to divert your way from your true self. And again, I don't claim that they are bad. I only claim that they have a limited view of what is possible. And they have, of course, an agenda. It's a control mechanism. Even if they claim that if you are believing this, then you're truly free. It's like a, how do you say this, that you're being rewarded if you comply. It's a very sophisticated, in my opinion, form of control. But if you're truly free and that you are having contact with your own body, and it's also important that if you contact your own body, you are taught to distrust that. Now, why is it that we are educated to distrust your own body? It is maybe it has to do with the guilt, you know, people feeling guilty about things that they feel that they want to do. And one aspect of feeling guilty is about, for instance, sexual desires, and that you are cannot resist it. And if you suppress it, you actually have strange results because of it, of it being suppressed. And, you know, everybody knows about Carl Jung talking about this very problem. But Carl Jung is not the only one. You know, there are many people talking about this problem. And what will happen is that if you suppress it so much, then you have, the end result will be that people do strange things. You know, you just have to examine what the Vatican has covered up. The Pope of today, he was the mastermind of covering up of a pedophile network by the Christians, Catholic priests and pastors who did acts that is beyond belief, you know. And because it costs so much money to cover this up, and all those victims of sex crimes, there's a documentary, by the way, about on BBC, it was on BBC, it's on Google Video now, Vatican sex crimes. This is a beautiful example, the excesses or the extremes because of suppression. You see what I mean? So if you have this suppressed behavior towards your own inner feelings, you get strange results. People are doing strange things. It's not based upon love. It's based upon being angry or being... there could be very many complicated reasons why people act in that way. And it was exposed in that documentary that Wettinger, the Pope of today, was the mastermind for years to cover up and with money and having this president. And all countries, all priests in the world were having this information coming towards them how to act when some priest is being exposed for the abuses, sexual abuses. And what happened is that they have a kind of protocols what to do and how to treat the press and how to treat the police. And even the police admits that they have a lot of money to silence people. So it's well documented documentary on Google Video. You just have to Google Video Vatican sex crimes or BBC documentary, and you see the hard evidence that there's a large network of pedophile priests being protected by the Pope at this moment, who's in power. And then you have to question him, why are you there in the first place? How does it come that you are there having done this, you know, covered up those crimes? Maybe because of it he is there. Have you ever imagined that? That maybe he is there because he knows too much. I know it's not a wonderful topic to discuss, but to going back to having this guilt feeling about your own inner desires or feelings or wishes of your own body, and because of you denying yourself or having this self-suppression, we actually do not explore who we truly are. So let's say you feel very special to another person, and you are raised not to express your true feelings, what will happen is that or you are in complete pain or you are in complete anger from it. So I think that that it's time that when people truly love someone else and there's a true connection, it should be allowed to fully express. Now, and that can have maybe consequences, but at the other hand, if it's pure, if it's from the heart, and it's not suppressed anymore, maybe things will happen that we never thought would be possible. Because people consider desires and feeling sensations, and that you are more levels of awareness of your body. For instance, if you talk about Atlantis, or you talk about Lemuria, or you talk about symbolism, or you talk about UFOs or spirituality, you name it, you feel sometimes ignited. Your body is saying, yes, I recognize this. You know, for instance, when you listen to Michael Tesarion, who I've interviewed for three and a half hours, I hope soon to do another interview with him. And I recently listened to his recent interview on Red Eyes Radio, a Swedish guy. It was an excellent interview about the mechanism of control, mechanism of fear, mechanism of self-punishment, and how we are actually sadist to oneself because of guilt feelings and so forth. And because of it, strange behavior comes out of this, and it has to do with trauma that this planet has had for thousands of years. So if you know that in our genes something is embedded of trauma, so we have certain things happen to this Earth, major catastrophes, and also they also acknowledge that part of our DNA is actually alien, and if that is correct, that explains maybe our behavior. And we need not yet have total access to our alien genes. Maybe they have a switch to turn it off because they don't want us to rebel against the system. And they have sophisticated ways to doing so. You know, when I did the interview with Nick Baggage on HARP technology and mind control, there are so many ways to maybe bring us down, not having access of who we are. And when they maybe created us a long time ago with mixing genes, hybrids, maybe we are a result of creating hybrids, part alien, part what walks around on this planet, like Cro-Magnon beings and Neanderthal or whatever. We even not related to the Neanderthal. Did you know that? It's so funny. They found out that the distance from us to the ape is closer than us to the Neanderthal. And it was always thought that the Neanderthal were more close to us, but it turns out to be not to be the case. But there are many mysteries about our DNA and what our origins are. So if there is a, let's say, an alien race that did an intervention that mixed their genes with our genes, and they on purpose have a switch, turn it on or turn it off to have access to your potential, and that they only turn it on when it's necessary. Let's say, when you see the movie, I think it's Battlefield, I forgot the title, maybe people in the chat can help me out on Pal Talk. It was with Tom Cruise, oh, not Tom Cruise, John Travolta. John Travolta played in a science fiction movie, and I think it was something with Battlefield. And there you see a story about, actually it's based upon the work of Zachariah Sitchin, partly, and everybody knows that John Travolta is a member of the Scientology church, Ron L. Hubbard. His book and his views on the aliens, and I don't say that he's telling the truth, maybe he has a part of the truth, but it's important to realize that when you look at it, there was a moment in that movie that you have these people who are not that intelligent, and they need them to do the work on the planet, you know, to be slaves, but they were not good enough to do that. So what they did is they had this special machine to give you information how to speak and how to understand concepts of math and you name it. And it was given to a person just enough to do the job. Battlefield Earth, yes, that's the thanks. Thank you, Frank, that you bring it up. Frank from Belgium, who's on the Pal Talk room. Yes, it's important that you realize that maybe there is a way to dummy us down, but when it's important, there is maybe an access key to unlock that that what is blocked. And that maybe there is an agenda not to have access to our true potential. They are afraid of us having access to it. And maybe those who are in control right now, they know the whole story. Not the whole story, but most of the story. Not the whole story, because the whole story is far out more complex. beyond belief. So I don't claim that those who are in control right now, those on the top, the so-called Illuminati or the Bilderbergers or whatever you want to call them, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilaterals, and the shadow government, if they know the big picture, and again, they don't have the whole picture, but most of the pieces, and they know that certain areas of who we are, and if we have access to it, that could be very dangerous for them. What I also found of interest of Dr. Nick Bakich, who expressed that we all are Nikola Teslas inside us. So we don't have to wait that someone else is having the solutions. The solutions is there for the taking. It's only, I also heard that the Navy was experimenting with frequencies and having an effect on your body in a positive way and in a bad way. You can use frequencies to boost your potential, but you can also use it to downgrade you, to feel numb and to feel that there's no spirit anymore to resist the system. And they even discussed it that they want to do it legally, to use frequencies to ease down the public. Think about it. They openly discussed mind control techniques recently. Part of the year in 2006, they openly discussed the possibility of using frequencies to ease down the public, to calm down, not to rebel. I'm not joking. They officially admit that they want to do that. And maybe in secret they already do. But somehow, if some people have access to the true potential, starting to have access, they want to monitor those people. Maybe the abduction and the contactees are the ones who've been pushed to do more with themselves. Have you ever considered that? That a part of the abductions worldwide and the contactee experience is based upon that they tell you, please access your heritage. Please allow yourself to have access who you are. Because it's unnecessary that we are slaves. It's unnecessary that we've been fooled. You don't need distractions. It's all there within you. It's there for the taking, and you don't use it. It's all about conceptions of how we perceive reality, how we see ourselves. And there is the religion again. They are very powerful, having an impact on how you see yourself. So I think there's a great connection between how we see ourselves and how you behave and how you interact with other people and what it will trigger for yourself. So I also believe that The Matrix, the movie, is made by people, maybe it sounds very silly what I'm going to say, but it's made by people who actually have access to the potential, full potential, and that they want to have a strong message to trigger something. And you can claim, oh, it's just fantasy, is it just a you know, creativity of the mind, it's just a beautiful art. But what if this is done by people who have access to the true potential, that they want to have a very powerful message to the people? And I think that The Matrix, the movie, has done more than any resistance you can imagine. And if you have a lot of certain resistance type of energy that people waking up. I also heard Michael Tesarian talking on Red Eyes Radio saying, you know, if you see the WTC 1 and 2 crashing, I think you were shocked. You were shaken. But are you awakened? I love it. Maybe it will shock you. It will. You are being shaken. But it's also important to ask the question, are you awakened by it? And if so, then it serves also that you can see it as a symbol of people becoming awake, that there is so much wrong with the official 9/11 story. It is beyond belief. Soon there will be on 9/11 Loose Change 2, the final cut will come, and it will be promoted on Rosie's show, The View, on ABC. There will be a special that's like the last thing that she does when she quit. She decided to go away from ABC. But Rosie is the one who who dares to question the status quo, to question government, and to question everything. The so-called free country, the United States of America, claims to be free, but you're not allowed to debate 9/11. A true debate, I mean. A two-hour special of live, not unedited, debate on the pros and the cons. They don't allow that. Why? You know, if you are not have nothing to hide, if you think you are able to explain to the public there's nothing wrong with 9/11, then why is it that you're not allowed having a true debate? And why is it that the media are so heavily controlled? Now, if you study The Corporation, the movie, just Google video, type in The Corporation, the movie, and analyze the movie From Freedom to Fascism from Dave Aaron. No, not Dave Aaron. Aaron Russo. Sorry, Aaron Russo. Now, Aaron Russo is the one that I like to do an interview with on Untold Mysteries Radio every Sunday. I have 3 hours, sometimes more, live radio shows on untoldmysteries.com. I go in depth in interviewing people, and I discover that when I do that all the time, I discover that there is a mechanism of the right questions and the wrong questions and the dare questions and the questions that are spontaneously that you're just but what pops up in your mind you just ask. That's the way that I do interview. We have also people that have a script, you know, that prepared a radio show and then have all those questions on paper. And then you feel that this person is not really connecting with the person that you are interviewing. You actually have this script. And then you hear the people saying, yeah, interesting. And the next question is, you see, so what I like is to be 100% in the now. And when I do the asking, it's from the now. It's from the spontaneous energy that is out there. Maybe sometimes I'm channeling questions. I'm just having fun here. But think about it. You know, if you're truly in the now and you ask questions from the now, you have more power to ask the important questions instead of having this script-based making radio. And it's sometimes it's chaotic. Sometimes it doesn't sound professional. But on the other hand, it's authentic. You know, and I think people feel the difference between this wanting to be perfect attitude, or that you just be with your mistakes, and that can be sometimes a surprise what comes out of it, because of this spontaneous what pops up in my mind. I ask, that is being part of being Aries. I also looking for more people who know that they are a fire horse on the Chinese zodiac. Now, the Chinese zodiac, if you just type in fire horse Chinese zodiac, you will see that you, if you're born in 1906 and 1966. So if you're born in 1966 in here, you are a fire horse. And in 1906, you are something else. You are probably, maybe it's a metal horse or water horse or earth horse or air. But if you are born in 1966, I have a network of 7 or 8 people who are a fire horse that I'm working with. Is that coincidental? According to the Chinese zodiac, it's one of the most rebellious signs. It's like an energy that will never stop. It's unstoppable energy. I can talk for 8 hours straight, and when you listen to me at the end of the 8 hours, you will see that my energy is still the same. There's no diminishing of my energies, of my spontaneous energies. And then people say, how the hell do you do that, John? It's simple. If you live from the heart, you get energy. If you live from the mind only, on the fear-based thinking, and you want to play it safe all the time, and you want to prepare too much, it will cost energy. It will drain energy out of you. And that's the reason those people cannot interact with me too fast, because they cannot handle it. It's too much energy. It's too fast. So I'm looking for more people who feels like me, who are in this rebellious mode, and including being spiritual and truthful to oneself and honest to yourself, and authentic, and that you want to share your research and your discoveries without having the claim that you know it all, or that you have the answer. I don't claim that I have the answer. I only claim I discovered so much that can trigger us to empower ourselves. That's what I claim. I don't claim the so-called truth, because that's always in the eye of the beholder. And I also know that there's a difference between functional truth and the absolutistic truth. You have this functional truth that is temporarily, and then, you know, after a while, then you find out it's just at that time it was functional, and then 20 years later you are more wiser than that. You see what I mean? So I think, I hope that more people who are born in 66, please email me. And my email address is john@untoldmysteries.eu. I will repeat, John, J-O-H-N, symbol, and then untold, with a T, untoldmysteries.eu. I hope that more and more people are helping each other, because there is this kind of a strange coincidental connectness with all those people who are fire horses. I will give you some names that I, just my head, I don't read it from paper, I do it from my head. Babylon Paula from the Netherlands. Saren, Sweet Saren from the Netherlands. He's part of the Solas team. He's the founder, co-founder. Filinet. Filinet is the web host where sometimes we talk, share, and we help each other. In this 9/11 was an inside job room on Pal Talk. Now, he is a room owner and a website and friend of Imalek 100, Charlie Giuliani, also Firehorse, also from 1966. Same energy, same spirit, boost of wanting to explore who we are and spread the word and fighting injustice on a spiritual-based behavior. It's not only, fighting injustice and that's it. It's more that we do something extra, not having this victim mentality, but do more than that. And then we have Nexus, Ron from the Netherlands, who I closely work with. He's a columnist of my Dutch radio show. You see, more and more people are fire horses that are connected with me, and there are so many more. Is it coincidental that we meet each other and that we do this? I also heard, I'm not sure if it's true, but I heard that children born in 66 were or killed or prevented to be born in China because they knew they're going to overthrow the government. They have this energy of system busters, wanting to change the total system that is corrupt in the core. And they don't fear anything. They just have no way of having fear. They just, having this power of confronting. For instance, Yabulon in Pal Talk, she's going to a secret society, Freemason gathering of an open kind of exhibition, lectures from all international speakers in England, in UK, United Kingdom. I think it's in Scotland that she will go. And, you know, take courage to go there, because she's going literally in the heart of the beast. And she wants to discover and what is happening there. And she's fascinated in secret societies, as I do too. It's part of my research, you know. If you have a hobby or a passion to collect data that is what you're not supposed to know, then part of that data is about secret societies and their role in our society. And the majority of the secret societies are not necessarily bad people. I think the majority of them have no clue what the top is doing. And they don't care, truly. They just have this network, having this privileges, because being a member of that system opens doors to certain people. If you know the secret signs and secret handshakes, secret code words connected to their secret handshakes. I've also saw a picture of Bush Jr. For the first time seeing this red carpet. Interesting red carpet. Why is that? That royalties coming from country to country on red carpets. It's because of the bloodlines. It's a line, carpet, red. And there you see this Queen Elizabeth coming towards Bush, and then you see all this happy making pictures of this meeting that they meet each other, and then you see the signal, the symbol with the hand he was not, you know, giving the sign like raising his hand up, but he had his hand like relaxed, hanging down. So it's like you don't see it. But if you really carefully watch the moment that Queen Elizabeth coming towards Bush, you see his making the sign of the demon's symbol, what people know. I'm not into demons, by the way. I think we are more demons than that what we think the demons are. It's our own fear-based projection on it, and that is creating that what you see. So, but that's another story. So yes, there is a worship of a satanic cult that needs worship, and they don't necessarily have to believe in a devil or a Satan. They just have this mechanism of a kind of being the opposite of Christianity, that they have to pay back time. It's like a revenge of what happened in the past. Secret societies being having enormous anger towards the abuse of power by Christianity in the Vatican. And because of this anger, they separated, the Templars, they separated from the church, and later they infiltrated back again. But important is to know that the Templars and the secret societies found out the true story about the origins of man. And therefore, they found the whole church a hoax, and that we are being lied to. And they decided not to share it with the world on purpose. It's like blackmailing the church, and therefore you have power over the church, because they have so much knowledge to expose the church that they don't do it. Why? Maybe because there's a good reason for that. It's like a mutual interest of power, sharing power, and that's the reason there are also Freemasons in the Vatican, that there is a mixture of, and that the origins of the secret societies were based on necessity to hide. Because you have to, if you share what you know about the church, you will be burned at stake. You will be, your whole family will maybe be killed. So there was a genuine good reason to go underground. So the whole secret society-based mentality is not originally bad. It was the intention of a secret society was based upon protecting the knowledge that exposes the Vatican or exposes the abuse of power by the Christians. And then you understand from that point of view, there is like a energy of resistance against the Christians. So I'm not happy about that, by the way, because they both make the same mistakes. You see what I mean? So if you are neutral and you look at it, you could say, okay, you have all the reasons to be very angry and very upset, and that there will be a time of payback time, and that Atlantis will rise again. They call America, by the way, Atlantis II. So this whole project of what's happening in the United States is a kind of rising of Atlantis. And that Atlantis was destruction of Atlantis has to do with something, with one of the so-called gods of the Christians having a war with the gods of Atlantis. And that the Christian god, you know, was just an alien race, have won the war. And because of that, they decide what will be printed in the history books and how you interpret God. They are not necessarily God, of course. They're just having sophisticated technologies to worship them, and then you have this whole worship concept and hierarchical thinking concept. So if there are several alien beings having several agendas, they all can be not necessarily in harmony with all that is. You see what I mean? So let's say there are several alien races, and they all have mistakes. They all have their own ideas how to treat us. You can imagine that if you are part of that secret societies and you will be coming towards the so-called truth, and they will reveal you the secrets, the true secrets of the Christianity, they will tell you why they do what they do. And then you'll become aware that you can have a choice, so-called choice. Choose that alien race or that alien race. Whatever you choose, you actually, when you do that, you sell your soul to one of them. And what about making no choice and saying, I choose total harmony with nature, with my friends, with humanity, and I serve love in the interest of everybody, including the so-called enemy. That's exactly the message of Jesus, by the way, but they don't act upon it. But think about it. If there are several secret societies and tell you the true story of what happened in the past, that most religions are corrupt, and that the core story is that there are several alien races having different opinions about how to treat us. How would you react if you are coming to that point that they show you all the evidence in those secret societies? You see, the connection between ufology, research in alien agenda, and the alien contact experiences worldwide, because you have several contact experiences, not only abductions, you have also beautiful experiences that is uplifting and very profound and very spiritual. So you have all these different types of experiences. I know for sure that the secret societies have access to that kind of information, that they definitely know the true agenda of most of those alien beings. And let's say that the most beautiful alien beings that are on this planet, almost angelic-like, that they are completely unconditional love, but that if you have a, let's say, an intent of you have a desire to have more power and that you have more privileges, then that energy will be mirrored back. So, and if you are not getting help from the angelic beings or the beautiful, truly beautiful spiritual beings that are beyond dualistic thinking, then you have to ask yourself, why is it that you're not being approached by them or being inspired by them? Because it starts with you yourself. What is your intent of what you're going to do with your life? How do you want to have access or to accomplish something? Is it based upon from the heart, or is it based upon using another, having power over someone else? And if you have the desire that you need to control another person, you make a statement that you are not able to do it with yourself. So actually it's a mechanism that if you need to control someone else, you actually attract a situation that they control you. But if you let go of it, and you trust that there is something much larger there that is beyond this dualistic thinking that can serve you, and it's all there, and you don't need to be a part of a system that is abusing the Earth ecosystem, and you don't need to be a part of a secret society that promises you wonderful privileges and money and wealth and power, then that for the short time being that would be maybe having some results. But then you have to question yourself, why is it that you need that? So you will always be mirrored back. What you radiate, you will attract, including that all those alien beings or whatever you want to call them, interdimensionals or multidimensional beings. It's a, you know, like attracts alike. And that's very important that you realize that you be mirrored back in your behavior and your intent. So if you want to learn from those so-called beings, and they can tell you anything they like with what you want to hear, especially those who are in secret societies, and you say, whoa, this is wonderful. I'm special. Now I know something that most people don't know. And if you think that it is important to keep secrets from the rest of the world, and that you feel special about it, and that you are inaugurated, and that you are having just done this ritual, and allow yourself to do strange symbolism, and then it's all about mind control, by the way, and that you feel special because of it, and that you feel above the other, now then you have to wonder what will the end result be on that behavior. The end result is that energy will be mirrored back. So later, you are being part of a system doing it with you. And then you're going to complain, why is it I have this problem? I don't see any alternative. The reason that you don't see the alternative is you are doing the decision-making process having this experience in the first place. What is your true intent? If you are having this attitude, I don't believe in hierarchical thinking, I don't feel that this right, and I want to share everything that I know, I don't love secrets, I just share it, then you attract people doing the same. You see what I mean? And then you attract aliens doing the same. You see? If you be honest to yourself and you express yourself to your partner and you say, I don't feel well, and it's not because of you, it is because of me. There's something, whatever, and then blah, blah, you say why you don't feel well. The other person could interpret that, oh, you want to, you, it's me that that you are having this feeling. No, no, it's not me, truly. It is just me feeling not nice. It's not about you. I have a bad day today. Now, sometimes when people interpret that as, oh, it could be me that person has this bad feeling, and even if you tell it's not so, the other person could go pushing, but you're playing nice with me. You're not telling the truth. And then you say, no, I'm telling the truth. I'm honest to myself. If I'm really not having, when I really have difficulties with you, I will say so. Now, what will happen is, it's an interesting mechanism, that other person maybe is not truthful to themselves, is not allowing to be truthful to the other, and wanting to play nice all the time, and cannot conceive that you can be pure. You see what I mean? I will repeat this, because it's extremely important. If you have a relationship with someone else that is not used to be truthful to themselves, and not be used to be pure, they cannot conceive that the other person can be pure, can be truthful. You see what I mean? So what will happen is that even if a good person from the heart, and you have that person as a partner, it's still possible that you don't see it. Why? You already cannot perceive or conceive it, because your attitude is that you have to not be truthful to yourself. You have to play nice, be so-called social. And then, because you're doing it like that, you cannot comprehend that someone else is able to doing it. You see, and that is one of the core problems with pure people living from the heart, having relationships sometimes with people who are not truthful to themselves. And they cannot conceive it. They cannot comprehend it, that you can be pure. You can be honest to yourself. You can tell the truth. You see what I mean? So, and mostly the relationship will break because of it. And that's a pity. Could be better. Now, look around you. How many people do you think are 100% pure and 100% honest to themselves? And if they are not, are they able to comprehend what you are, to connect what you are? Or are they busy with their own story in their head about you? And if they're so busy with their own story in the head about you, you will say, come to a point, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. I have enough. Bye-bye. See, there comes a time that you say, I don't take it. I cannot handle this anymore. You're so many times projecting your own limited view on who I am. Bye-bye. And therefore, this is the beautiful example how good people will be rejected by people who are in a fear-based mode. Because if you are in a fear-based mode thinking, realizing that mode, you will reject good people. You will, at the end, people try to connect with you, and you have maybe similar interests and similar passions, and maybe you're even sexually attracted to each other, and you have a wonderful sexual experiences. But still, if someone is not truthful to themselves, and the other person is, at the end, the person that is truthful to themselves will come to a point, I have enough about this. You know, it's enough. And this is interesting, because I see that more and more happen. I think more and more people are looking for quality relationships. I think that's a part of the global shift. I think so, yeah. I think that's the key word for the coming years, that we choose quality relationships, not based upon mind games, word tricks, fear-based behavior, you name it. So there are many perceptions of how we perceive each other, and our behavior towards each other is similar how we perceive aliens and how we perceive demons and how we perceive anything that is that we not can comprehend or not can understand. So it's easier to say, oh, it's a demon, therefore it must be bad. You know, that's easy. Maybe it's your own energy that you project on that what you see, what you cannot comprehend. Now, yeah, when we are having more and more quality relationships, I think that is a part of triggering who we are. Sometimes I'm afraid of meeting people on the same awareness or same level. It's like I have no control over myself. think people understand that concept, that you feel like, wow, I feel someone really truthful. The connection is so powerful. I cannot resist it anymore. I'm feeling kind of hungry for it to have this quality relationships with people. It starts with friendship, of course, and it can maybe become more. But it is beautiful to see that more and more energy is exchanging between people because they want to radiate freedom instead of radiating self-censorship or fear-based thinking. So the more and more people letting go of their fear-based thinking, the more intense will be the relationships and the more intense will be the triggering that you do with each other and become more empowered. So I think there's a chain reaction of activating each other. And the basis is to first start be truthful to yourself, especially about UFOs, aliens, New World Order, maybe the fear-based mechanism that you see around you and how to deal with it. But I believe sincerely that we don't have to be afraid. They have to be afraid of us. Think about that. And maybe because they are afraid of us, they have this mechanism of Big Brother and cameras and implants and frequency control and fluoride deception. Just Google it, fluoride deception on Google Video. And that's just the reason that they have to suppress so much, because they are afraid of us. So the more suppression you will see around you, including in the news media, the more it is a signal that they're actually afraid of us. So that's my view on how we can perceive oneself and understanding that we don't have to be victims. There is also, according to Michael Tesarion, again, I listened to that interview recently with Red Ace Radio, the Swedish guy, and there's a relationship between the master and the slave. The slave can only be a slave to the master if he allow it to be a slave. You see what I mean? It is a mentality of behavior. And the master can only be a master if the slave acts like a slave. You see what I mean? This is an interesting concept. So a master can only be a master if the slave acts like a slave. I think it's a beautiful statement to realize that. And if you want to know more about Michael Tesarion, just go to michaeltesarion.com or to taroscopes.com, and he's a wonderful guy. You don't have to agree with him with everything he says. It is just he had wonderful insights, total fresh ideas how to interpret what we see around us. And again, it can boost you, it can trigger you to have a different axis of who you are and who we are. And how this control mechanism can be exposed for what it is. Shining light on dark matters. I love that statement. Shining light on dark matters and transform it and go beyond duality thinking. Okay, thank you so much for listening to Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine. That was live. John Kulis from the Netherlands. And if you want to know more about me, go to untoldmysteries.com or untoldmysteries.eu. And today is Saturday, 19 May 2007. And I hand the mic over to Donald Newsom of BBC Radio, BBSradio.com. Bye-bye. See you next time.